Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Long chapter, be patient with me. But first, before that can be found on page 844 in your Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. And I would encourage you to read the whole book of Jonah. It's only 4 chapters. I was enthralled with it, and I'm anxious to hear Tom's sermon. Anyway, would you pray with me? Living God, help us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the scripture, chapter 1, Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" "I am a Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them so. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more storming against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord shall last forever.
Well, I love this short story of Jonah, who is called by God to serve as a prophet. You may have noticed being a prophet is not really a job that anybody wants. Jeremiah said he would rather die than be a prophet. Moses tried to substitute his brother Aaron for the job. Isaiah asked, "What do you want me to say?" And when God told him, Isaiah said, "How long do I have to do this?" Evidently, to have the word of God so clearly in your own heart that you are confident in telling others what God wants these days is hard. It's a job nobody wanted, so we should not be surprised. It should even be expected that Jonah would be reluctant. Even Jesus himself in the Gethsemane garden says to God, "I do not want what you want." It's difficult because when the word of God comes, it never comes just as information, not even enlightenment. It comes as calling. It is a word that shapes who we are in this world, and that's the rub. And Jonah, no doubt, wished that God's word had come to somebody else, anybody else. He probably wondered, why did this have to happen to me? For the word of God came to Jonah and said, "Go to Nineveh and cry against it, for their evil has come before me." Now, we might think that Jonah would want this job, actually. Many of the prophets did not want to proclaim judgment because usually they're bringing judgment upon Israel. It's not fun to tell your friends that they're not being faithful. But God didn't call Jonah to speak to Israel, but to speak to Nineveh. And Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. And we might think that Jonah would relish in this calling. Go tell your enemies that God has had it up to here and judgment is coming. But the problem for Jonah is Jonah knows this God very well. And Jonah knows that God can be surprisingly gracious. God can forgive anyone. This is why Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. So he doesn't. He goes to Tarshish, or tries to. Don't know exactly where that is, but it's in the opposite direction of Nineveh. Nineveh is east. Jonah goes down to Joppa, the coast city, finds a ship, sets sail west into the Mediterranean. It's the opposite direction of Nineveh, and Nineveh you can't get to by boat. Now, you may think this prophet just needs some directions, but he knows exactly where he is going. And here's why. Let me remind you of some history. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was Israel's enemy. Did you know that they invaded Israel? And they conquered everything north of Jerusalem. And they took the Hebrews and they scattered them all over the ancient world. The 10 lost tribes of Israel. It happened because of Nineveh. And God is calling Jonah to go to them, the last place on earth Jonah would want to go. This week, here in this sanctuary, we welcome Sonia Warshawski. We show the movie Big Sonia on Wednesday, and she was here Thursday. Many of you were present. I'm grateful to our Stephen Ministry leadership and Village U leadership who coordinated this effort for us. Sonia is strong and winsome and a funny woman. And Big Sonia is so short that if she carries a grocery bag, it drags on the ground. And how she sees over the steering wheel of her car is a miracle, I think. Many of you are here, so you know her story. Almost her entire family died in the Holocaust. She watched her own mother march to the gas chamber. They were in line, and the Nazis separated them. She went one way, her mother the other. It was the last moments of her mother's life. After enduring the war in three different camps, she survived somehow. She still has the serial numbers on her arm and the scars on her heart. And for the longest time, she didn't talk about it. But she said she decided she must start speaking out when the voices of hatred that she heard as a little girl in Germany arose again in America today. Someone asked her, "After all you have lost, how could you forgive them?" And she said, "I haven't. I can't. God will have to do that." I cast no judgment on that. And I have no illusion that I would be half as gracious and loving as Sonia is had I experienced even a portion of what she has suffered. But the unsettling thing for all of us is I think God can forgive anyone. There is no limit to grace. Jonah knew that, and he hated it. He would have given anything if the Word of God had just come to someone else, anyone else, because the thing about the Word of God is when it comes to you, it's never just information. It's not even enlightenment. It is a calling word that shapes who and how we are in this world. And this word was calling Jonah to do something he would never have done on his own. So he runs. He hides. He tries to get lost. It doesn't work out great for him. You know, he goes down, he gets on the ship sets sail, then the storm comes. Jonah's sleeping down on the bottom. All the sailors bring him up and said, "Is it you?" They cast lots to discover. "Yes, it's you. What do we do?" He said, "Throw me over." They don't want to throw him over, but eventually they have no choice. They throw him into the sea, and the storm is calmed. But that's not the end of the story. Then it says God provided a big fish. A fish that evidently feeds on prophets. And the fish swallows Jonah, and Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. No magazine, no iPod to play games on, cut off from all his responsibilities. It was sort of just Jonah with his thoughts. Just think of it as like a mini sabbatical. 3 days and three nights in the fish. Okay, so since we're going to spend this month with Jonah, let me interrupt the sermon for a moment and offer this aside. We get to this point in the story, and it trips some people up. They get confused. They start wondering, what kind of fish is this? And how does even a prophet of God survive 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish? Could this really have happened? Is this really true? Well, okay. I could say it's just me, but it's not just me. There's a clue in here. The clue is he gets swallowed by a fish, and he survives 3 nights and 3 days in the fish, and then he gets spewed up on the shore as whale vomit, and he's happy about it. Not even the fish evidently can stomach Jonah. All of this is a clue. It didn't happen. This is not a news story. It's a short story. It didn't happen, but it's true. Sometimes the only way to communicate the truth is to tell a story. And with this story, the important thing is not did it happen, but what is the truth? End of aside, back to the sermon. This Jonah short story is about many things. It is not about how long a human being can survive inside a fish. If I understand the text, it is about at least this. The word of God comes to everyone. You are Jonah. I am Jonah. The word of God comes to everyone, and it never comes simply as information. It comes as calling. It is a word that defines and shapes who we are to be in this world. And that calling will often challenge us, because the word always calls us to be as gracious to each other as God is to us. And Jonah hated that, because he just knew God would be gracious even to the folks of Nineveh. And as he sat in the belly of that fish, I am certain he wondered, why does this have to happen to me? Why couldn't the word of God fallen on someone else? Why didn't God send someone else? Here's something I don't think Jonah ever figures out in this story. I think God called Jonah not simply because he needed the word of God to be proclaimed in Nineveh, but also because Jonah needed to proclaim it. Jonah needed to be an instrument of God's grace. That is his calling and ours, to be an instrument of God's grace. And sometimes that's not hard to do. And sometimes it's tremendously difficult. The truth is, always and every time, the calling of God is for God's people to live as an instrument of grace, to be as gracious to one another as God is to us. And I got to see that this summer. I got to see God's people being instruments of God's grace. You know that as I began the sabbatical, I went with many of you to Kenya, to a backwood village called Thawake, and to a little town called Wote. And I want to tell you, you are being an instrument of grace in Kenya. You raised funds to build a multi-purpose hall for the Presbyterian Church in Wote. We didn't really know the status of that building. We thought we were going maybe to help them get started building on it, but they had a different plan. They decided they would actually hire Kenyans who know how to do construction to come build the building, which seemed like a better plan to us, actually. And by the time we arrived, it was almost time to put the roof on the building. It's terribly exciting. What they did do is invited us to join them in worship and to symbolically lay the cornerstone. So David Zioka and I placed a couple of cinder blocks in a door frame, and we publicly gave thanks to God for your faithfulness and for the faithfulness of the Presbyterians in Wote. That's what I was praying. Scott Stanley and others were praying that I wouldn't pray too long so that the construction workers could get back to those blocks that we had just put in the doorframe and straighten them out, because we put them in pretty crooked. It was David's fault. Not only that, I watched with amazement as Jerry and Vicky and Diane and others brought in 2 days' time over 100 patients to a dental chair situated in a room that had no electricity. And they provided care and pulled teeth. I saw Grace at work as Lucy and Kathleen and Parker sterilized those dental instruments using a pressure cooker on top of a gas canister. I watched as Jim and Bob made sure patients got the right eyeglasses. I saw Grace as Cole and Chase delighted children with a whole elementary school of children with a drone that hovered over them taking their picture. I watched Dee and Sherry labor without fatigue, placing medications in Ziploc bags so they could get the right medicines. Watch David and Lauren and Scott and Dan carry blocks to the church so that the building could be completed. I watch Barbara paint thousands of teeth with protective fluoride. She painted the teeth of these young children, always looking into their eyes where she no doubt saw the image of God. I saw Grace with delight as Chamblin got down on the floor with 12 girls who are living in an orphanage. They are safe now. They haven't always been safe. They're living in an orphanage that this presbytery built and staffs. And I watched those little girls giggle with joy as they received dresses that our mission sewing lady sewed for each one of them. And I fought back tears as I watched those same little girls proudly wear those dresses to worship the next day. And I saw Grace as Kansas Cityans and Kenyans told stories and learned the truth. And as we feasted every day on enough food to fill this whole room, all cooked on open fires, and through it all, delighted in the discovery that we are really human when we're together and when we are instruments of grace. That is what the Word of God calls for us to be, as gracious to one another as God is to us. Now, let me be clear. It wasn't so hard to do in Kenya. It wasn't so hard to do. We didn't have any history that separated us. We didn't have any injuries to get over. It was a little harder for Scott Stanley because he was in charge of the rest of us, but everybody else, it was easy. And that's where we have to practice it, where it's easy. Because it's not always going to be easy. Jonah can tell you about that. Sonia can tell you about that. And when it's hard, we won't have a chance unless we learn to practice it where it's easy with each other and build from that. Because the world needs people who have learned how to be as gracious to others as God is to us. And it's not always easy, and it's often uncomfortable, but it is holy, and it is human, and it is our calling. At least, I believe that's the truth. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.